And so, realizing we have all these people we need to pray about with all these problems going on in this world, I mean, the uncertainty that we're faced with, it's almost the point where we think it'll never get back to normal. It will never be there again. And so, where we really need to focus is what we should have been focusing on all along, is what is our priority in life. All right, priorities are like the sail of a ship. The way they bend depends on where we go. Wherever our priorities are, that's where we put our focus, and that's the things that we think about, and we consider those things. So, no issue is more fundamental to life's destiny than determining your priorities and making sure they're leading you in the right direction. See, some people, they have a priority of this thing or that thing, and that's where they go. That's the path they follow. And some things that people make priorities are not going to help save their soul or do anything for their soul. So we have to pay attention to that. And I think a big problem is a lot of us, we don't examine our priorities enough. We basically, as we go through life, we just kind of go with the flow. And that's how we've been doing lately. On the news, they say stay inside, so we stay inside. Wear a mask, so we wear a mask. Do this and do that. And we really just going along with the flow just so people don't try and shame us or get on our case because we're not wearing a mask or something like that. See, we just mindlessly plug into the flow of life and go where circumstances take us. And I think that's the way we all are. Whatever the circumstances, that's where we go. All right. So we're so busy meeting the responsibilities of the day, a lot of times we fail to consider the destiny of our lives. And so it's very important that we establish priorities and do what we can to support those priorities. As citizens of heaven, we read in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. We ought to know where we want to go, heaven, and we constantly examine our values, 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves to ensure that we arrive at the desired destination. That's what we need to do, is make sure, am I doing what is necessary to get me to heaven? And we need to do this on a regular basis. See, we determine not to mindlessly plug into the flow of the world because we know it is destined for destruction. I mean, the world is passing away with this lust, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life that we read out there in 1 John 2:15 through 17. And it's all going to perish. It's going to be no more. So what do we really need to be plugged into is the destination of heaven. We need to believe that God has saved us for a greater purpose than just living a busy life. And you know, some people, they base their own importance based on how busy they are. Doing this for that person, doing that for this person, and doing all sorts of things, staying busy. And some people just like to be busy because they don't like sitting around being idle, and so they get busy doing things. And so there's more to life than just being busy. We've got to have a purpose. We've got to have a focus. And of course, we know that God wants us to have a meaningful life. And when all is said and done, at our funeral, does our life mean anything to anybody? That's a question we have to consider. I mean, what's the preacher going to say about us at our funeral? What's our family going to say about us when we're gone? I mean, those are things that we need to consider as far as having a meaningful life. And for us as Christians, there can be no greater meaning than to glorify God and to cause others to glorify God as well. So it's meaningful for ourselves, but also for others. See, we must recognize that busyness does not equate to godliness. Just because you're doing things for others, and we talk about them, we've known people, they do good things, they help out people and do that stuff, that does not equate to godliness. I mean, it's what's in the heart is what determines godliness. And there are all kinds of people who are out of their minds busy, but they are spiritually stagnant. Doing this, doing that, going here, going there. I mean, we sometimes call them soccer moms because they take one kid to soccer practice, the other kid to dance class, another kid to aerobics, and then they got to pick up the neighbor's kid from this thing, then get back and pick up the soccer kid and all that stuff. I mean, just busy, busy, busy. And when do they stop? Because when they get home, they got to fix dinner. And so they're always busy. But some seem to wear our busyness as a badge of importance. We think that makes us important because we are so busy, when in fact our schedules simply reveal a deep preoccupation with ourself. And that's what we have to be mindful of, and that's what we need to warn against, because it shouldn't be about self. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Well, if we make commitments, yes, we do need to honor our commitments. And if you're helping others, yeah, you got to pick up kids from school. You got to do this. You got to do that. And so we do sometimes do that, but it's what I am doing that we have to consider. And sometimes we can think highly of ourselves. Well, look what I do. I do this. I do that. And sometimes we brag about all the stuff we have to do. You know, places to go, things to do, people to see. Oh, woe is me. I don't remember what that line is from, but it's from something that I've seen before. I think that was the rabbit Through the Looking Glass. But anyway, that's what we got to do. We got places to go, things to do, people to see. And then we just complain, oh, woe is me. See, Jesus gave his disciples a statement that rights the ship and sets the sails to live in a life of joyful significance. Jesus told us how to do it. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading at verse 25 and go down through 34. It says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, or to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of them. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, he is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I was going through Facebook. Those of you on Facebook have probably seen this when you see these two Amish farmers sitting there. I wonder why COVID hasn't struck us. And the other one says, probably because we don't watch TV. So, I mean, that the thing's going crazy in this world, and Yes, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of controlled language out there also. And different people are going through different things. And most of it is political. We understand that. So what we're going to do is put our trust in God and let God watch over us. See, the statement complements what Jesus called the first and greatest commands. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the passage in Mark adds, with all the strength that you have. And yes, so that's why we got to put God first. Love Him for the utmost, and He will take care of us. See, there is an allness and a foremost to living for the Lord. That means there's an advantage to living for the Lord. First of all, the hope that we have the hope of salvation. We have the hope of eternal life. And so that's something to consider in our living for the Lord. Not only that, yes, we are His servants and we have things to do. A lot of people, they want to claim to be people of God, but yet they don't do anything for the Lord. And so it really doesn't make a lot of sense. In our business world, if you had a company with thousands of employees and there was a group over there just sitting down doing nothing, and the boss walks in, what are they doing? They're just sitting doing nothing. Well, they're quality control or they're observers or something like that. Are they being productive, doing anything? Well, not really. Then the boss says, what's the boss going to say? Oh, we'll give them a raise. No. Boss says, we don't need that kind around here. Get rid of them or give them a new position to work in. So that's what we need to do considering living for the Lord. We've got to be busy for the Lord. And we want His rule to be evident in every part of our lives. As we go through our lives, our thoughts, our speech, our behavior, our interaction with others has to be tempered and filtered through the idea of our faith and, of course, putting God first. Living up and respecting the priority that we say is the most important thing in our life. See, the Lord's people do not have a top 10 list of priorities, of which God has placed number one. You know, David Letterman years ago, every night he'd have, here's my top 10 list, and some of them be cute, some of them be funny, some would be just downright obnoxious, but they always come up with these lists, and there's a lot of things that, yeah, we can relate to, because we were in similar situations, and we could relate to those things. But if we said there's a top 10 list of priorities, where would God be on that list? Well, He's supposed to be at the top. We know that. He's supposed to be number one priority of all that we do and all that we say and all that we think. He's supposed to be the number one. But when we hit reality and life as we know it, where does God fit in? And if we were to be really honest with that, He would fall down 3, 4, 9, or 10. This is where God would be on the priority list, because some things just seem to be more important than other things. And sometimes God is not one of those things. And of course, for most of this world, God is definitely not one of the priorities in their life, because their selfishness is so much more important than what God said. So we have one overreaching priority through which we should filter everything. God should be first in everything. Seek Him first as a priority, as a primary function of our lives, seeking God first in our lives. And then, of course, His righteousness right there with us. And so when we see our priorities in terms of a list, it is easy for us to think of the Lord as an important part of our lives, but not necessarily our whole lives. Yeah, Sunday afternoon when we're listening to the sermon, yeah, God's important. God is important. And yes, God should be the most important thing in our life. But you wake up Monday morning and get busy with the things of your everyday life. Where does God fall? Where does God end up at the end of the day? Was he the number one priority in your life, or was it the kids? Was it your hobbies? Was it your friends? Was it your video games? Was it this or that? So we might say, I put God at the top of my priority list, and that is why I go to worship on Sunday. You know, some people brag about this, don't they? We've heard them. Yeah, I go to church on Sunday. You go to Bible class? Oh, no. You go to midweek Bible class? Well, no. But I go to church on Sunday. And they think that's supposed to earn them some sort of gold star or something? That God's supposed to pay attention to that? When he said, you need to seek to learn as much as you can. And we just decide, well, we don't need to learn anything. How can you say you put God at the top of your priority list if that's all you do is go to church on Sunday? But the rest of the week, oh, I've got my other priorities. And literally, that's what we do. We establish priorities on a daily basis according to the need that what we need to get done that day. And that's how we establish our priorities rather than keeping God first in all things. So, no, we don't do it. We've got to be honest. We don't keep God first in our lives. And so in Matthew 6:33, you notice the word seek in the phrase. Seek first the kingdom of God. The word seek describes your ambition. It describes what you are passionate about. It involves a looking. You know, when you're going to go seek something, that means you've got to look for it. You have an idea of what you want, and then you go look for it. So if it's a particular tool you need, if you can't find it in your toolbox, you're going to run down to the hardware store, and you're going to buy the tool that you need. I mean, you have been seeking it, and once you seek it, you've found it, and you're willing to pay the price, you're willing to make the sacrifice to get that which you think you need. And as soon as you get home, you knock something over. Oh, there it is. What I was looking for. How many times that happened to you, Al? A lot of times. I mean, it does to all of us. Looking for things. You go buy one and, oh, there it is. I mean, so the word seek that describes what is our ambition. It also implies there's something worth finding. Like in Matthew 13 and the parable of the man seeking fine pearls. And then when he finds one, he sells all that he has and buys that one pearl of great price. So it implies that there's something worth finding. So when we say seek God, there's something worth finding there. Now, people in the world, they don't understand what that something is. But when we who have studied God's word and we who recognize our spiritual condition, then we're willing to seek God because there's going to be some benefits to doing so. See, Jesus is recommending that you make God's way your first concern in every decision because that is what you're passionate about. And it can be done. I mean, first of all, as you make your decisions, there's certain things you know you're not going to do. You get out, I've got to go do this. Well, I'm not going to use foul language. I'm not going to think lustful thoughts. I'm not going to do this or that which God doesn't want me to do. So that is involving God in your priorities. When you think like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm not going to sin. That is our goal. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes we give in to temptation. But our priority means I'm going to do that which is pleasing to God. And then, so you do your duty faithfully. You follow what the writer of Ecclesiastes said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength. I mean, so you're passionate about these things. But you know, in your mind, I am not going to do anything that'll cause me to sin. And that is our purpose. It's a grand purpose, and it's a great priority to have in our life. If we could just live up to that, we'd be very happy with ourselves. But alas, we sometimes fail as we go through, and then the situation changes, the circumstances change, and all of a sudden, our minds are racing all over the place. And then we forget what that first priority was. So seek first His kingdom. Acts kind of like a coffee filter for living. All right. We know how a coffee filter works. Some of us drink coffee. Some probably don't. But anyway, you put all this coffee stuff in the filter. Some people use tea. But you pour it in there, and then they run the water through it. And then only what is suitable for consumption is allowed through. So you go through, the grounds stay in the coffee filter, the water comes through, and it's coffee. And of course, some people might argue about that. Some might disagree that it's worth it. And depending on what brand of coffee you buy, I'm going to go along with this statement. Some of that coffee is not worth consuming. It's nasty. Just find the coffee that you like. How would you like a blueberry cobbler coffee? I saw that on Amazon the other day. Okay, so anyway, and you might have maybe a different kind of teas or something. You pour the put the leaves in there and it filters through and you come out with a tea. Maybe a healthy tea or something like that. But anyway, that's how the coffee filter works. It takes what everything goes through it, but leaves behind all the, we might say, the garbage, the throwaway stuff. Because after you run your coffee or your water through the filter and you have your pot of coffee, what do you do with the grounds? Go straight to the trash, right? Or in the recycle bin or the biological bin. That's what we do with it. I mean, some people might take the coffee grounds and use them in their garden and around their plants to help them out. Not sure how that works, unless it's supposed to perk them up or something. But anyway, that's what Matthew 6:33 is for our daily lives. It is that filter. Everything that comes through our life, everything comes into our mind, and we're going to put into action, how is this filtered through Matthew 6:33? Because we need to put that priority there. It is the priority through which we filter everything. Everything that we do, everything we say, everything we teach, every action that we do, every thought that we have should be filtered through Matthew 6:33. And so we constantly ask ourselves, is what I'm thinking, saying, doing, and planning demonstrating that I value God's kingdom above anything else? Ask yourself that question. Does my life demonstrate that God is the most important thing in my life? And examine yourself. Sometimes examination is painful because some people, they know they don't match. They don't meet up to that standard. Whereas as a Christian, we are supposed to meet up to that standard of putting God first. And so if the answer is yes, if what I'm doing values God's kingdom above all else, we do it. But if the answer is no, then we need to leave it and get our focus on what is the true priority that we should have. So there should be a kingdom reason for all living. Now think about that phrase. There's a kingdom reason. Seek God and His righteousness. Seek God and the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So yes, that's the reason, because we're supposed to be citizens in heaven, but we've got to meet the qualifications of a citizen. And we must be abiding by His laws. So this week, if you want to, take a coffee filter and write Matthew 6:33 on it. Put it in your pocket. Carry it around with you. Maybe put it in your purse. Every time you open up your purse and You got this coffee filter there, and you look, Matthew 6, 33. Yeah. And all these problems that we're worried about, all these things that we're concerned about, we can just turn off the TV and not be exposed to those things. That would be one way of dealing with it. But as long as we have Matthew 6, 33 on our mind, that is supposed to be the most important thing in our life, everything else just kind of takes its place. Everything else pales in comparison. And so that's where we need to be. The best place to write it is not on that coffee filter, but on the tablet of your heart. That's what we're supposed to do. See, the psalmist in 119:11 says, "Thy word I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against you." Yeah, that's where we need to put it. That's when, and of course, the heart is the mind that we think about. So whenever you make your schedule, spend your money, dream your dreams, ask yourself, does this show I value God's kingdom above all else? And sometimes, maybe, maybe not, it would answer that. I mean, if you're going out and you buy something new, you buy a new tool, does this show I value God's kingdom above all else? Now, it may be one of those things that really doesn't matter. I mean, if you need the tool, then get it. If you don't need it, then don't buy it. Some people have a habit of just buying things, whether they ever use it or not. And it could be ribbon and yarn and stuff like that. But anyway, does this show I value God's kingdom above all else? And just going through our daily activities, when we go to work, we can demonstrate that, yes, we do value God's kingdom by making sure that we don't use foul language when everybody else is, that we don't try and cheat the boss out of time or money, and that we don't do those things that God doesn't want us to do. That's how we do it. That's how we set these priorities in our life, and they need to be there. It is the priority which will set your sails toward a meaningful life. And so consider these things. It's always important to have your priorities established, and that's something we try and teach our kids. Set your priorities in order. And that's because they get focused on different things. You know, kids, their minds just running like crazy. They'll be so focused on something and get involved in it, and 30 seconds later, they're involved in something else to the best of their ability with all their strength that they can muster up. Then all of a sudden, they're over here somewhere. And we know grown-ups just like that, don't we? They get off. They say, okay, well, I'm going to do this, but then all of a sudden they're looking at that, and they're looking at this, and they get their themselves mixed up. So keep your priorities straight, and do what you need to do. If you have to put it on a piece of paper, put it on a piece of paper. If you can remember it, then remember it. But make sure that Christ, God, the Word of God, His kingdom, and His righteousness have to be the most important thing in our lives if we want to go to heaven. Now, if a person doesn't care about going to heaven, none of that's going to matter. But if you want to go to heaven, you've got to put that first. So examine the priority in your life. So we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.